As promised, we have on the other end of our line Dr. William Thiessling. And Dr. Thiessling, I got to tell you, I spent an evening on Monday listening to a presentation by you about thorium as an energy source and lifter technology, and I was absolutely fascinated, and I wanted to get you on here to share your story with the people in Northwest Ohio, because you've got a great story to tell, my friend.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. I went to the website, as you suggested, Energy from Thorium, and I recommended to the audience about an hour ago that they do the same. And one of the things it says on there is thorium energy cheaper than coal. And obviously, that's a great benefit, but there are more than just that one. From what I gathered from your presentation, is there a whole number of wonderful benefits about thorium. And so, as the expert, as the guy who's been living with this for a while, why don't you just fill us in on what you see as the, you know, five or six or four or five great points to make thorium something really worth consideration for us.
Well, sure. That's a great point to start with. Well, thorium is an element on the periodic table, number 90. It represents a nuclear fuel, ultimately. It's not fuel directly, but it's something you can turn into fuel. And you can, with a liquid fluoride thorium reactor, you could burn up very close to 100% of your fuel. So you're talking about an energy that's a million times denser than any fossil fuel. So you're talking about energy that's something you really can't run out of. And with the right technology, the lifter technology, there's really no reason why we couldn't have energy for thousands of years, if not millions of years, because you just have so much of this. Even in the crust of the Earth, you have on average 12 parts per million of thorium. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you give it the energy density factor of a million, you're talking about more energy in a you know, pound of dirt, if you will, or a couple pounds of dirt that you have in a barrel of oil. So, and that's dirt everywhere on the planet.
That's amazing. Plus, and as you suggested in your opening line there, is that Yucca Mountain wouldn't be quite as necessary, or if it were, wouldn't be as full.
Yeah, we currently have some 77,000 tons of spent nuclear fuel, and that's actually not completely waste, but we call it nuclear waste because we can only run it through the reactor once. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can continue to burn up your fuel as you can in a lifter, and you're running off of thorium instead of uranium, you have very little waste left over. Instead of having about 35 tons per year, you have less than 1 ton per year for the same size power plant. And of that 1 ton, a lot of that being in a liquid form, you can extract out and sell as value, economic value. Some of it, for example, could be used for medical treatment and so forth. So about 1% at the end of the day of the waste would be generated, and it would be something you need to sequester for about 300 years versus 300,000 years. So it's a much easier sequestering task, and it's far less waste to deal with.
Yeah, and another aspect that I gathered or that I learned from your talk the other night was that we have these huge nuclear facilities sitting around. We have one just up the road here at Davis-Bessey that with these huge domes and all this stuff in case a thing burps, you know, that we don't all melt down. The thorium reactor, the lifter, doesn't require all that because of the very nature of the process basically eliminates the need for all that superstructure.
Yeah, our current technology, they have an excellent safety record. There's no doubt about that. But it comes at a cost. There's a pressure vessel. These things run under pressure. And then there's a containment building around it that's reinforced concrete, reinforced concrete, plus all these nuclear grade specifications everything needs to be built to. It drives the cost of your nuclear power plant construction. when you talk about thorium in a liquid fluoride thorium reactor, you really aren't running under pressure at all. That's probably the single biggest thing. There's no material like water under pressure that can change state from liquid to gas in the event of an accident. So these things are far safer. They're far safer by their nature, and so you don't have to put in a bunch of redundant, engineered systems to maintain safety. These things are kind of naturally safe just by their nature.
All right. And then another aspect that you discussed the other night was that the proliferation aspect of it. You know, we're worried all the time about somebody flying a plane into one of our reactors and hurting the neighborhood or stealing the spent material to re-engineer or whatever for warlike uses, but that doesn't exist with thorium.
Yeah, it really doesn't exist to be realistic with our standard reactors. It's just not enriched enough to be a bomb-grade material. In a liquid fluoride thorium reactor, you have other issues such as it's always contaminated with some U-232, which is highly radioactive, hard gamma emitter in its decay chain, which really messes up anybody who wants to go steal it, run off with it, and build a bomb out of it. It would mess up your bomb. It would probably kill the guy stealing it, and all sorts of other issues. So you're talking a certain degree of proliferation resistance by its very nature. No one's ever built a U-233 nuclear weapon, at least not a operational one. It's just so much easier to do it out of U-235 that you wouldn't really bother with doing it this way. And the nature of it, again, is in its inherent safety. If some terrorist stormed the plant and strapped a bomb to himself and blew up the reactor core, that the liquid nature of this is such that it would just solidify and still maintain all the highly radioactive fission products within the solid that it would solidify to. So it's extremely safe, and it inherently holds the nasty stuff that you worry about. So if anybody were to try to do something in the way of a terrorist attack, you're really not up against any major issues there.
Well, good. That right there, I guess, for a number of people would be a reason to explore it and go further. And speaking of exploration, we probably should note that our government at some level sees the wisdom of thorium because they have partnered with China.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their motivation is there. I mean, a lot of this technology was proven in the 60s, 1965 through 1969. The molten salt reactor experiment really proved a lot of the basic concepts behind a lifter. They never fully built a lifter, but they were really working out a lot of the pieces, parts to put it all together. And then the technology has been sitting kind of idle, which is sad, because this really does represent the opportunity for energy independence for the country, and frankly, energy independence for the world as well. And why they're partnering with China, I've got nothing against China. They're doing the right things for their people, but why our government hasn't saw fit to partner with China on this, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, why there instead of here? I mean, this is a technology, if advanced and developed 45 years ago, a lot of the issues we have today, we wouldn't be discussing, if they had done the right thing back then.
Yeah. Well, Nixon was attempting to use a uranium-238 plutonium cycle back in the early 70s when he was promoting, energy independence by the end of the decade. For a number of technical as well as political reasons, that did not work out. But there's a lot of technical reasons why, but at least Nixon had a plan for true energy independence. Every politician since then has chanted energy independence without anywhere near a plan. I think thorium and the liquid fluoride thorium reactor do represent a very realistic plan for energy independence for the country.
And it's reachable. It's not some Star Wars type of technology or some rare earth thing that we have to go to Timbuktu to find. It's reachable and accessible right here, right now.
Yeah, I think you're talking about, there's some engineering that needs to be done, but basic research is pretty much taken care of. We know this works. We know the processes. We know the the a lot of the fundamentals to put it all together. But it's been sitting idle for 40 years. There's been advances in materials and other things. So it's not something pie in the sky. This is, by and large, similar to what our current nuclear technology is based on. And the difference is it could be done much cheaper, much more safely, and with enormous abundance of fuel that could last thousands, really millions of years. And at that point, you know, how much further do you need to go?
Right, right. Well, who cares? Anyway, well, as you mentioned the other night, if we just took the top foot off the crust of the Earth worldwide, several hundred thousand years worth of energy probably in that source. And if we run out then, okay, let's go down another foot.
Yeah, exactly. You can go for a long, long time, and we haven't even talked about going into the oceans, which,
right.
You know, 70%-ish of the Earth's surface is covered by oceans. So there's plenty of material to last, you know, millions of years here. So I don't think running out is going to be a problem anytime soon.
Okay, so let's do a quick pivot here, and as we near the end of our time, energyfromthorium.com, do you recommend people go to that site and check out?
Yeah, absolutely. There's all sorts of information there. There's videos there that talk about it. It gets pretty technical, but it also has some stuff. The TED talk was a little bit more of an introductory talk. So by all means, go there. If you're into this stuff like I am, you can get lost on that website for hours.
I found it fascinating. I've got about 40 pages right here in front of me right now just from since Monday, since I went through and looked at stuff. But I guess then that leads to the next step, which is the political step. I mean, clearly this is a government regulatory restraint, bureaucratic limitation type issue. Otherwise, people would be putting up, you know, lifter reactors in their backyards.
Well, right. I mean, I see this as something that private industry can do. I also see this as something where ideally a startup would be able to take this and really run with it. Biggest hurdle for any startup is getting funding, and they're going to need significant funding for this. And the biggest hurdle to getting funding, as I see it, is the regulatory environment. It's really hard to get VCs to fund it when they don't see a path to revenue. And the biggest hurdle there is getting a license to operate a reactor.
Do you think the resistance comes from other vested interests or just from lack of knowledge in the bureaucracy? Which is it, do you think, is the greater obstacle?
Probably lack of knowledge. It's very different. A lot of people, you can get a master's or a doctorate in nuclear engineering and really not hear or understand much about the thorium cycle just because it's not covered that much. A lot of schooling is done with respect to our current nuclear fleet of reactor designs, light water reactors. So I don't think there's a whole lot of understanding of it. You know, when the technology was developed back in the 60s, it was largely confined to Oak Ridge National Labs. It really never got too much outside that, which probably worked to the detriment of the technology, unfortunately.
Right. Didn't become part of the public consciousness.
Yeah, or even the consciousness of the other labs around. And so when Nixon did his thing, everybody from all the other labs were saying, let's do uranium-plutonium cycle. And that's what they understood. And that was the Cold War, and they had worked with plutonium. And it was something they were comfortable with. So that's what they proposed. And then there's, you know, one place at Oak Ridge saying, you know, no, we should do molten salts based on thorium. But they were considered the odd man out.
They were doing energy and bombs at the other places, you know. So
right.
They had okay. Well, I thank you so much for the time you've spent with us today. I should tell you, Ken Kay is going to be on with us Monday and talk about the political action we can take to get the ball rolling here. So you've given us a good foundation for that, and then we'll carry on the conversation on Monday.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Charlie. Appreciated this opportunity to talk about thorium.
Thank you, Dr. Thiesling, and I'll see you on the road. Okay,
right.
Thank you very much.